And in our exercise of late, we're looking at the Spirit of God's awesome ministry. So, therefore, God, who is invisible, God is a spirit. We live in an earthly, visible realm. He's different. Different. We know the other is there because everything's going on, the sound and everything that you can't see or touch, taste or smell. It's all happening right in front of us, right through us even. So we already know that. So God wants us to understand his awesome person. And so God, how are we to understand your awesome person? Well, I want you to know me as a father. I am the creator and the author of all things. I'm going to send my son to die on the cross to help you understand your earthly relationship. Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea as you were born on planet Earth. And he's going to go and die and restore and make possible the relationship that I handed, that I had with you, what I was, that I was to have with you before the foundation of the world. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that real and right. That's his ministry. So what? That we know thee, your awesome person, my God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to know you. So, and therefore we share together Christ's work on the cross as cannot be understood or enjoyed or exercised apart from the Spirit of God ministry. So John chapter 7 again, just to read it so you remember it, not that you don't remember it. In the last day, verse 37, chapter 7, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood, cried, saying, if any man thirst, you may or may not, but you need to thirst. You need to have a hunger, a thirst. And if any man come thirsty, therefore you're coming to drink. That's what you're doing. And you had to realize you need to be saved. And having that I died, Christ died on the cross for us, that we can be saved. Now, saved for what? To enter into the relationship that God has. Not saved for what? To go to heaven? No. No, it's to understand here and now our unique relationship to God. Therefore, we need to want to exercise and know that relationship. How much? In other words, you could be born in a family and you have a brother and a sister in the family, and don't even have to have a brother and a sister in the family. You can be born in a family and grow up 10, 11, 12 years old and never enjoy the father and the mother. You can really be alienated even though you're there. You can be alienated, you just don't want to know. You never have. You don't enter in to the relationship to your mother and father, assuming everything was all that it should be. We just don't do that. You can do the same thing when you get saved. You don't enter into the relationship that you're to have. You get saved, but you don't bother with it. Just don't do it. And that's what happens to most believers. Us humans do the same thing. Very few humans actually understand it, and because of human nature and the old sin nature and us humans being what we are, very few humans ever have a healthy relationship to their mother and father. Just don't do it. This isn't it. So here we are looking, and God wants that relationship, and the only way it can possibly be fulfilled is verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it's the living water and the living words. Therefore, verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make the whole thing work from start to finish. The whole ball game. That's what his ministry is. He delights to do his ministry. God delighted to send his son. God delighted to die on the cross in his son. God delighted and is delighted to bring us into the fullness of his wonderful creativity, his creativeness, to bring us into the fullness of life. He said so, John 10. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it fully, full, not empty, full life. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, we've been looking at it. So, and we shared together of that, all the different ways of summing it up here that we're doing. God, we're to be overcomers, and we can't overcome at all without the Spirit of God's ministry. Jesus Christ, you know, you're in John. Just turn over a few pages to John chapter 16. And John chapter 16, and you'll notice in verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, trouble. But be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. I've done it. Now, how can I ever enjoy that? You need to be overcomers. How are you going to be overcomers? It is the Spirit of God's ministry to make us overcomers and to see that without any difficulty. Over to Revelation. And if I can, in Revelation and chapter 2, and you'll pick it up. And you know, to each of the seven churches depicting church history, they give us church history, and they're all literal churches in Turkey. And here's Ephesus on the coast, and you just draw a horseshoe like this, Laodicea, and here's over to Laodicea, like a horseshoe in Turkey. So, and in the process of each of these literal churches, they're going through what they were going through, are told all churches, chapter 1 and verse 20. All churches. So over to chapter 2 and in verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of the life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So the Spirit of God makes us overcomers. No question. You want to be an overcomer? The Spirit of God says, pay attention to me. You want to be an overcomer? Everyone's supposed to, all believers are supposed to be overcomers. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make us overcomers. He gives us the power, etc., to overcome, and then all the different ways to say it. and therefore we share together. In Ephesians 4:30, don't grieve him. He wants you to be an overcomer. 1 Thessalonians 5, don't quench. Don't put the fire. The branding iron's hot. Don't put the branding iron in a bucket of water before it goes on you. Keep the iron hot so when it lands on top of you, it makes an impress. Makes an impress. Don't quench the Spirit of God's ministry. He wants to make an impress upon our heart of Christ and all the benefits. He wants all of those benefits and blessings to be brought to us and locked in like a branding iron, sealed into our heart. We're branded with God's blessing and God's grace. Now, and so, and then you don't want to limit the Spirit of God. You don't want to limit him and tell him, God, you can't do that. You can do this and this for me, but you can't do something else. You can do what I understand for me the way I understand it. To do for me the way God understands it may be quite different. And therefore, what I think should happen in my life and in my health and wealth, God, that's what I think. But what I think is not the issue. It's what you think, God. It's what you think. So God, I yield. Be an overcomer. The Spirit of God has to all make it happen in a most wonderful, wonderful way, as we shared. Now, and keeping that in mind, so, and we shared together that the Spirit of God, when we're sharing God's word or reading God's word, it has wonderful authority. And our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, and that all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And the word authority there is the word, think of the word power and might. Power, might, and authority. Authority and power, two words. Authority and power. Power to do it and the right to do it. Power and right to do. All right in heaven and earth. So, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that real. So that's when we read the Bible. When we read the Bible, you want to make sure when you read the Bible, you open God's word. That's the problem with little things that people use. They have the awesome things they can do. But if you want to know a person, I don't recommend that little thing. In other words, we're sitting across the table having lunch, and I hold my little doojiggy up and type in a text or whatever you do, and you read it on your text, okay? You read it on your text, and you type it back to me, and I read it on my text. That's the wrong way to know a person. You'll never know a person that way. Never know them. And you'll never know God that way. I know. Because you're telling God to be in the world and use the world to get to God. And the Spirit of God gets you to God, not the dumb system. And you're so used to it because you can't separate it. You can't separate. The thing covers everything. And the more AI and all these other things come in that they're doing, to come in, they'll be governing your health and your everything about your life, your feelings. You'll be telling it, talking to it, I don't feel good, what should I do? When it's going to talk to you, you know, I feel sad, what should I do? And you're going to have all of that. And you're going to lose any relationship that's real. No good. That's where we are. Now, so the authority, so when I read the Bible, like we're looking at it, God, we got to have you to help us get to it. And not only do I have to understand that when I do this, so that I am enjoying, I'm not looking, I don't understand it at all. But it's God's word, and I am to believe it and understand it, as we'll see in it, perhaps in a minute. Now, I'm to do that, and therefore when I open it, it isn't like opening any other cookbook or something. I'm opening God's word and reading God's word. And the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, John 6:63. They're full of life. The Lord is my shepherd, and all of those little words are full of God, full of life. So when you read and understand, it's God's word, and God gives it life. Without God, it's just his word. And you can read his word and memorize his word and do all of that and never enjoy a relationship with God. You know that. People know that. You can do all of that. So that's just personal. I'm trying to get that. Now, when you go to get out here like we're trying to do, what are we trying to do? Well, where's the authority? So we can read the word, and which we're doing, actually we're practicing it. So we understand God, help us to understand how this works. So we're reading the word and looking at the word and trying to understand it as best we can at this point. And the Spirit of God's ministry has to help us do so. So I personally have to do that. Just so do you when you read your Bible. God, you have to help me when I'm reading. And the Spirit of God has to give it life. Give it life. I don't have it. I can't give it life. He has to give it life. So I'm reading, and it has to give me life. Life. So when we go to deliver the Bible, the authority for the Bible is the Spirit of God. He makes it real. Otherwise, I can just turn it off, and which I can't. I don't want to. If I could, I just can't do that. But anyway, if I did, if we do, I can bring it. Same message, John 7:39, I read it, Spirit of God, etc. I can do all of that, and do all of that without God. I can do all of that without God. I could read the whole 7th chapter of John without God. I could give you an outline on John chapter 7 without God. Do the whole thing. So when I'm all done, I did it. And we could cover the books of the Bible. We could cover all the books of the Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, we can do those things. Do them. Without God. I can go to Bible school and seminary and sit through all of that and have my education and get my degree or whatever you get without God. I don't need God for that. God has given me an intellect down so that we can understand space and thermodynamics and everything else in life. DNAs and NAAs and the FAA and whatever it is. You can do all of those things. True, I don't need God for that. So when it comes to science and math and just general living, I can have that. And when it comes to religion, I don't need God for that. I can be very religious, and I can be very Christian and go to do everything. And we need to see that. We don't. Think of people, you say, well, the more I know to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with the Word of God. And we shared it last time. There are dear people, many dear people. God bless them. And rabbis even, I shared with you how they have to know, could memorize whole sections of the Bible. I mean, they memorize it without ever opening the Bible. Got it. They got it. But they don't know God. So you can know the Bible up to here, and not have God. That's what I want you to see. So that I can preach and I don't have any I can give you and you'll love it. I think you would if I could do it right. I give you a nice outline and a little joke or two. Got to have a joke or two and an illustration and wow. But I didn't need God for that. And God may not have been in it. And you heard it, you were happy, and you'll come next week to hear another story, another thing. And you never had, didn't it? And you could be now 10 more years go by, and you still haven't got to God as a believer. You just didn't develop. Just didn't develop the relationship. You have to thirst and come and drink, and rivers of living water will flow out of you. The inflow must outflow, or else no flow. It's just in and out, gone. That's what you've got to do. So when it comes to authority, so having said and knowing everything, if you don't have God, the Spirit of God in it, it just isn't going to go anywhere. It doesn't mean you don't learn. It doesn't mean you don't understand. And you, I could do that, if I could. And you can walk out the door and you take what we read in John 7, but you believe it differently than I am. And you decide to grab hold of that, what you understood, and you take it way past what I was doing. And you want it real in your life. And that will, God will do that. God will do that wonderful thing in your life. Because you want to do it. That's how I got here. I didn't have any help. So don't be discouraged. I didn't have any. I'm just a little kid. God, you're an awesome God. God, you're awesome. And he was awesome. And just, I didn't get it. God got me this far. God gets us this far. So God, what are you doing? So we want to have all of the knowledge without the Spirit of God. Everything, church. That's why church, you have to ask yourself, if the words are living words and living water is to come, life, then it should be such a dynamic testimony that you couldn't shut it off. And the light would be so light enough that the darkness can't put it out. And the light is there. And you are enjoying the light. You are exercising the light. And people know see the light. So as you have the reality, God's going to honor that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. But you have to let God make it alive. It has to be. You did it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he is my country, 'tis of thee. My shepherd. And I shall not worry, want, or wander. I don't want a God. I don't want to. God. So God is there. And I have to let that happen. Yeah. You do it another way, as I'm just chatting. Hebrews 11:6. What is it? Well, all right. Let's see if it's still there. Hebrews 11, and in verse 6, great chapter on believing God, and therefore verse 6, but without faith, letting God, recognizing God's word, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that, and then the little words underline big, he is, here and now. And he is a rewarder of payer and rewarder, a payer in full of them that seek him. He pays all. Seek me with all your heart, and you'll what, dear friends? You'll find me. Seek me with all your heart. Otherwise, you don't have anything. And you want to have that. That's where you're going to have the assurance. You're saved. And you're comfortable with it. You're locked in. Locked in. Now, so having therefore looking to God and keeping that in mind, so therefore, and we don't want to go, we want to go and have God behind it. So God, as we read the word, personal again, I'm looking for God to make that real and right in my life. I can't do it. I can read it. I can try to understand it. But God has to do that. And so if God's doing that, so when I get up here, that's how it's going to come out. That's how it's going to come out. I'm letting it absorb it in myself. It's going to come out that way. And I'm not telling you, you can do whatever you want. People do. I'm just telling you how it works practically. And you don't do that, nothing. Nothing. Just a lot of words. Wonderful words. Wonderful truth. But it can't go anywhere. So, having said that, so God, we don't, and our background kills us. Baptist background, Methodist background, Presbyterian, Catholic, Muslim, whatever your background is. That's how you look at God. That's your basis. It should be coming from God's word. I'm looking to God from God's word, which is alive and full of life. And I'm letting God's word directly, I'm not interested in what you think about the recipe. I want to read the recipe. I want to look at the recipe, not what you think about it. And let it get to you. Otherwise, it isn't going to go anywhere. And that's where we are. And so therefore, that's just a half a thought to help you understand practically. And I wish, anyway. Now, having said that, so the words that we speak are the words from God. And God, Christ our Lord, John 1:1. Is the Word, God the Word. John 1:14, the Word becomes flesh, and he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, the words bring us to the Word, Christ, and Christ brings us to his words, back and forth, back and forth. The word to the words, the words to the word. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and it is critical because therefore we can be years, all these years across the world, and how come the church has never grown? How come it's deteriorated? So Luke 18 and that. When I come, will I find the body of truth on planet Earth? And it's a rhetorical question. No. That's what our Lord said. I will not find the body of truth. What we're at to be believing, I will not find it. I'll find it. That's pretty hard to find now. So keeping that in mind. So the reality of it, we missed it. But that's not our fault. And that's why, do another way to say it, that's why Luke 15, heaven rejoices over one soul that repents. Not thousands of souls, just one. Just one soul. That's all. That's all I'm looking at. God's looking. Are you one? So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and in order to avoid chastening, we don't want to be chastened, spanked, And we don't want to have that spanking, correction, without the benefit. So the Spirit of God is going to go and make all of that real and make it work for us. So while you're here, turn over to Hebrews just for a second. And in Hebrews in chapter 12, and you will note, we have to be going to be disciplined. And that's true. And you have to be. And you'll pick it up in chapter 12, in verse 5. You have forgotten 12, 5, Hebrews. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. There's no way to be born in the family without being disciplined, having the discipline of the family brought to pass in your life. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastening, chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. You're not a legitimate son. You say, oh, God never bothers me. They're probably not saved. Simple. You're just not saved. God's going to discipline you. He's going to correct you. He's going to help you. That's his ministry. That's what he wants. He's going to do it. So God's going to have to help us. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to do that. So as you keep reading, as you know, in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Why is he doing it? To bring us to him. That's why Israel couldn't eat this, couldn't do that, all kinds of things. To what? Discipline. Train them. And you can't. Same with the military, the same with the police, the same with anything. You have to be learn it. You have to learn it. If you go get a job at some place, you get a job, and you have to learn the job. And the job connects to all the different, your position in the company is takes a position, what your job is, and the people before you and the people after you are all doing their part to make the thing work. So you have to be disciplined to know they're going to do this, and so when this part comes to you, you know you're supposed to do this to it, and if that part doesn't look good, then you don't do it, because it's going to go to the next guy, and the next guy has to go and take and see your part to make sure your part's right and do his part. You're building. It has to have order. It has to have discipline. And it has to have that. And without it, if the army has the sergeant or the captain or whatever it is, has to say something to charge or do whatever, or the military guy, the SWAT team, whatever you want to call them, they have to say something, and they have to go as a team. They have to work as a team to protect each other. And let's think of what we're doing in Sunday's morning worship in that. The body. Body. Not us humans. No, forget that. But the body of Christ. Believers. Yeah. That's something else. So we trained to protect and promote it. That's what we do. Train and protect, promote that body. Not us being able to sit together and talk. No, it's not about that. About that oneness that brings God into his fullness so that we can what? Now, what does it require? Discipline, chastening, correction. It has to do that. It ain't going to happen for nothing. Go, you learn it. That's how you learn. How you learn. That's how we learn. God teaches us. And we don't know how to do something, and we're doing it wrong, and pretty soon we try to do it right, in the right way, and God helps us. And then we don't do it, and then something else happens, and you learn to be patient and look to God and not trust yourself. And that's what you do. You don't mean to spill the milk, the tea or the coffee at the table, but you did it. And then you spilt the water somewhere, and you did it. What are you learning? That you can spill things. That's what you're learning. And you aren't able to say, I never spill anything. Things drop out of your pocket. You lose things. Where did I put the keys? You ever hear that? Where did I put the keys? No. What are you doing? We have to learn. What? We're just... He said, you're dust. I'm not dust. God said, you are dust. That's all you is, apart from me. You're dust. And we learn it. We are humbled. We're corrected. We're trained. That's how we get there. It doesn't come cheap. You have to learn it. And you fall down. I say, I said the dumb thing. I did the wrong thing. In the wrong way, whatever. I don't want to do that again. And you have to learn. That's how you learn. And you do it less and less. So now when things fall, all these things, you do them, probably. And I had all this, I think about all the things I did. I do. I had a whole thing of spaghetti and something out of the microwave. And I took it out. And in just one measure of humanness, it went right out of my hands onto the floor. And Jeanette was there, this is a long time ago. I didn't want Jeanette to say, so I scooped it up as best I could and brought it to the table. You see, you gotta say, that's what you do. Don't tell her. See, that's what you do, you learn. Now, all kinds of things happen. It never bothers me. Failure, fault, bumbling, no, don't even think it. Just God, and I just go, don't even say boo. You learn it. I learned it. I'm learning it. So are you. That's how you grow. That's how you know. And God changes us. So we aren't trusting ourselves. So the chastening has to happen in God's wonderful way. And God does his wonderful thing in his only way that he can do it. That he does it, and that's the right way. And the Spirit of God to bring about that kind of exercise of life that honors him. So chapter 12, if you're still here, that's why it says in verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience, bearing up under the load. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How am I going to run? What's the motivation? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He went all the way. Everything was, he had to overcome the whole thing of the human nature and go us old sin nature. And he went to the cross. He humbled himself to the cross. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can. So when we come to God's wonderful, wonderful working, Our God has a wonderful, wonderful what? When you read Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So here are the disciples in the upper room, sitting there waiting, and the Spirit of God, they're told to sit there until the Spirit of God on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, exercises the wonderful ministry that Christ has made possible to have the reality. John 7:39, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 3, tie them together. The Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God, after the Christ's crucifixion, he's going to make it all. So Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. You're mine. You're not going to, it doesn't say you're witnessing. It doesn't say that. You're witnesses. You're witnesses. Not witnessing. You're mine. You're mine to show my awesome saving grace. That's what you're doing. You aren't running around doing this. You're just a witness to show his saving grace. Your mind, power, dynamite, our English words, dynamite, dynamo, dynamic, all of those English words are the word power, from the word power, dunamis. So, having said that and keeping that in mind and exercise that a little bit, to be able to have power, as we said, our ability, power, force, might, forceful, and in the process, capable, being made possible. So, over if I can to Romans and chapter 4. Romans and chapter 4. And you will note, it's going, we're looking at the same word. I'm just letting it sit and talk to you, talk to me over and over again. So, chapter 4 and in verse 21. Here's Abraham. And I'll read verse 20. Better than that, I better read verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being truly persuaded that what he had promised, what God promised, God was able, there's your word power, he was able also to perform it. When God says something, he can do something. God says it, going to do it. That's what he said. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, go over if you can, over to Romans in chapter 8. And just to see it, you can do it. In Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. So, we looking to the Spirit of God, we enjoy spiritual life. When we leave God out, we don't have anything. But when we're trusting God, he gives us life and peace, because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, no flesh shall glory in my presence. The carnal mind is enmity, hostility, hatred, enemy. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can, there's your word, can, power, able, there's the word power. It's translated can do, able to do something. Verse 8, So then, they that are in the flesh can not please God. They're not able to please God. They're not able to do so. So therefore, they're not able to do so. But on the other hand, God makes it possible to do whatever has to be done. So over, in the light of that, jumping over, Romans chapter 15. And you're going to find it all the way through, but go to Romans 15, if we can. And in Romans 15, picking up, if I can. And you know it. In verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That purpose, we through patience, bearing up under the load, and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. We think the same thing. We all think the same thing. That's right. I said, no, that's what you want to be. Or verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You got to be believing. That purpose you may abound in hope. How's all this going to have happened? Through the power, the ability of the Holy Ghost. He'll make it happen. You can read it. The Lord, we did all these things, keep saying him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall be one. He makes it all work. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's what he's going to do. He'll help me. He'll correct me. That's right. He's going to do that. That's what he's going to do. That's his ministry. So therefore, the Spirit of God gives us the ability. And you shall receive Acts 1:8. You shall have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witnesses. So God's what? What is the world witnessing? They're witnessing God do a work in your heart and mine. That's what the world sees. They'll see God's working in your life. That's what they'll see. They may not see it very good, and they won't understand it, but you will. Witnesses, my witness, to see God's wonderful dealing with your heart in chastening and empowering and giving you the ability and all of these wonderful things. So now, and therefore, the power of the Holy Ghost to do what he does, as only he can do it. So, chapter 16. And chapter 16, and verse 25. Now, to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. God, so looking, what are you going to do? God is able to go and have power. To him that is of power, God. God, you have to make up the difference in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And go over to 1 Thessalonians. All you're doing is looking at the word power, ability. It's all over the place. Spirit of God's wonderful ministry to make it all happen. So therefore, in 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 1, as you guess, chapter 1, the Thessalonians got saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Now, back to what we said a moment ago, the authority. If there's no authority to back it up, what we're saying, then you don't catch that. There's authority. God gives the authority. Power. If I believe, I'll really be saved. God is backing that up. backing that up, and you will be saved. See, God backs it. Not just you'll be saved. No, you'll be saved. Power. That's what we need. Don't have that. Used to have some of that now. So therefore, it appears our gospel came unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which in much assurance, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So here's the Spirit of God's wonderful. They got saved. They got saved, and they had the authority of Scripture to back it up, to make it work. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. God is backing up what he said. Little kid, receive the Lord as your Savior. Can you say thank you? And the little kid would say, thank you. Thank you, God, for saving me. Did you ever say that? Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you. That's positive. And that keeps you going. Now, so therefore, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to Ephesians. Well, turn to Ephesians. Did you get there? Time's up. Time's up. What can I tell you? Can't do it. I'm slogging. Stop. Am I right? 25 ahead? No? It's only 10 o'clock. No. Anyway, hope you get a little bit. Try to give you something. You'll never hear it. I'm trying to help you understand. You don't get it. God help us. Any God help us. Thank you.